Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Continue in our gospel reading today from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 20. And Jesus spends little time telling us what we could do if we only put our minds to it. He alerts us instead that we are already God's image in the world. So what are we choosing to reveal? Our faithful discipleship is intimately bound to the law and the prophets. It's not something brand new, but a flowering of God's eternal hope for creation. Beginning in verse 13. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law of the prophets. I am not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whatever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you. Show us how to be salt and light in this world. Amen. I'll never forget a time that my family and I visited friends in a town way north in Maine called Skowhegan, Maine. Anybody ever heard of Skowhegan, Maine? Oh, I got a Mainer here. Oh, got a few. Yep. Way up there. It was late in the fall, and they lived on a lake. And one night, we all ventured in the dark toward their dock. It was a kind of a long walk down to through the yard and down to the dock, and it was very late, like almost close to midnight. Now, I had to carry a flashlight when I was little. It was before, I guess, cell phones had pen lights on it, so I didn't use my cell phone. I used a little pen light, kind of, to light the way in this very, very dark place, and it's dark up there. No street lights. So one step at a time, we made our way to the dock, and the kids were all so excited. They were young then, and as we got closer to the dock and we finally sat down on the wooden planks of the dock, we looked up and heavens, in the clear black sky, was an array of stars. Stars that, and shooting stars just everywhere. It was truly, truly a magnificent sight. The lights twinkled as the quiet lapping of the water kind of lulled us after a while into this trance. Even the kids got unusually quiet. The stars seemed to sit right on top of our heads in the earth dome above, And as we waited, our friends said, in about a half hour, we might be able to see the northern lights. Maybe. Well, it was early in that typical season to see them, because usually you can see them between December and February. But they said we might get lucky, so I was hoping. Well, we waited for a while for one of the greatest earth mysteries to unfold. And then we saw it. I couldn't believe it. Peeking over the trees on the horizon, we could see green and purple and a little yellow to the north. It was directly north. And it took my breath away. It took everyone's breath away. Light. Light is such a gift, such a graceful gift from God. And Jesus uses light to help his disciples change their direction. And he spoke to them, and he is speaking to us today. I don't know if you noticed it, but did you hear the abrupt and profound switch in the last sentence of the Beatitudes last week? Do you remember when Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God"? And it changed to, "Blessed are you when people revile and persecute you. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." Like a starry sky or the aurora borealis, shockingly, suddenly, the passage addresses not some unknown, anonymous them persecuting us, but the very personal you, as in you hearing these words spoken in this moment. Now, do you notice that Jesus doesn't say, "You should be the salt of the earth," or, "If you get your act together, you would maybe be the light of the world"? Jesus said, "You are already here and now salt and light." Now, this goes back kind of to last week's lesson on the Beatitudes, in which we understood that you are not to do love, but be love. Not do peace, but be peace. Now, maybe we all thought we could put this off and maybe think about this at a later time when our schedule is free. But Jesus said, "No, this is for you right now." We don't get years of practice, kind of a time out from the rest of humanity to perfect ourselves in being all these things that Jesus said we are to be, nor to be the salt and the light. We don't have time for that. We are already. Our every act and word already represents God. And being prone to imperfection, I suspect that often the God that I am representing, and I'm just giving a confession here, is not being very elegantly or graciously represented. I suspect that too, often I am not very flavorful, salt, and I'm not particularly steady light 100% of the time. And I suspect that too often this just happens maybe to all of us. So much has happened in the last 2.5 years that has left us in places we didn't expect. Many have lost loved ones, jobs, financial stability, their life savings, their homes, and their health. It's hard to be salt and light, especially most recently, or what I like to call salty light. In December of 2022, the UCC sent a message to churches and pastors, understanding with compassion that burnout of pastors is real. Many, many, they have not acknowledged, have left the pastorate altogether. Seasoned, good ministers. The letter is a strong word urging churches to give pastors 2 extra weeks off in 2023, not as vacation time, but as respite from what many of us have gone through. Totally away from their ministries in order to reconnect to their call. Continuing as salty light people who are called to lead congregations has been dampened by world events that have severely impacted both church leaders and their pastors. Instead, some have turned bland as they live in the shadows, wondering if God has abandoned them or abandoned all of us. But I don't want to leave you there, because there's good news in this scripture today. Jesus reminds us that we pray, live, breathe, act, and have our being in relation to a God of history, whose great delight is to participate with us in time, in the human condition, and within a particular situation in which we find ourselves in right now. And more good news is that we have been commissioned into a community so that we can support one another in our vocation as disciples and offer one another whatever we need. And even more good news, we are in community so that we can remind each other that as salt and light, we are a means to an end. We are not the goal itself. Our great-grandparents did not salt a piece of meat so that they could eat salt. They salted meat to preserve it, to keep it from going bad. People don't turn on a lamp so that they can admire the light fixture, but so that they can, that the lamp can reveal what's around us. The preservative and illuminative qualities of salt and light are suggestive of the ways in which those qualities spilling out from our lives into creation serve to fulfill Christ's calling, to fulfill the law and the prophets. And that fulfillment and our serving as salty light becomes the means to an even greater end, the full blossoming of the commonwealth of God, a commonwealth that, as we learned last week, is already here. We are just now beginning to open our eyes to it more and more. We don't choose to follow the way of God in order to draw attention to ourselves. We are only the conduits of preserving and illuminating God's love for all humanity. We offer the light we have been given, the salt that we are, in simple humility as a means so that others may know Jesus, who is the Christ. We don't need to worry that we are too old or too tired or too immature or too few to have effect. We don't have to wonder if we make mistakes in our lives that we are ineffective, because God forgives us. And salt is used very sparingly. It takes trust that it only takes a teaspoon of salt to flavor an entire meal. I have to think about that when I put food in the crock pot. Here's my crock pot. I don't have to just dump in a lot of salt, unless I love salt, to make it flavorful. Just a teaspoon might do. And light is not just sunlight, not even moonlight. It's the tiny stars in the night or a peak of the northern lights, which are seen so rarely, both so beautiful. Have any of you ever lost power in the middle of the night? I have, for sure. And all you have to have is just a little flashlight, right, so that you don't run into the wall when you get up in the middle of the night. And I keep one by my bed because I have run into walls before. It takes only a little pen light to keep you from falling. Being salty light takes only a small amount. Small acts of kindness. Small acts of courage. Small acts of mercy and compassion. small acts of faithfulness. These are as fruitful as dramatic acts of great courage. Because remember, King David, when he was a boy, he just had a small stone, and that's what killed that giant. Small acts are the light that may keep a burned out person, a burned out pastor, or someone else from quitting or going over the edge. Because as we live in daily obedience to God's truth inherent in the laws and the prophets, we build the justice and righteousness that build into that commonwealth, the kingdom of heaven. We can never know what will be the act by which we shed a little light in someone's dark place, by which healing process in a place of woundedness can begin. We can't know that. But know this, my friends. No faithful act entered with love is ever, ever meaningless. So do not think that we have to pour a lot of salt to preserve and flavor this sin-sick world that we live in. Nor do we have to become a huge spotlight to help others to see. One act of love, one small action of mercy, one tiny word of grace or kindness goes a long way of illuminating someone's journey. One act of faith, one proverb in the midst of discernment, one reading of a psalm in the darkness of someone's life can give comfort and hope and assurance and peace. This passage calls us to be mindful of one very important thing that requires steadfast humility on our part. For a Christian, there is no such thing as a private act. Every personal or even collective decision has public consequences. Whatever salt and light you give another affects the whole body. That person goes through into their day with renewed hope. And Jesus invites us to the hard and humbling work of being neighbors to the whole creation. And while at the same time being merciful and wise. Over and over, Jesus chooses metaphors of relationship to depict this fundamental truth. From the grain of mustard seed to the leaven of a loaf, from sheep to shepherds, from salt to the world, to light of the nations. Everything we do or say proclaims something. It speaks something. It manifests something in the world. The only choice we have is what comes out of our mouths and what actions we take. What we proclaim, what we speak, and what we manifest. Do we proclaim freedom or imprisonment and oppression? Do we speak truth or a web of comfortable and acceptable lies that are fed to us every day? Do we shine love to all or pick and choose who we will love? Do we manifest health and holiness or the sickness of polluted systems and forced government agendas? We must maintain shining our lights and being salty and being in discernment. That means we first must take care of ourselves, our own health and well-being, to be strong enough and steady enough to take care of others and be in this world. It also means that we discern. We weigh everything in light of the Word of God in prayer. And just like pathogens don't overwhelm a healthy body when we have strong immune systems, in the same way, evil doesn't thrive where we shed salt and light, and it only takes a tiny bit of either. And the evil one knows that. Our words and deeds matter, They are public revelations of the divine truth that lights our path, heals our wounds, physical, spiritual, and emotional, and enhances our lives. And protects our freedoms, our words and deeds convey a powerful message. And make no bones about it, the world is watching. A young man recently said to me, Pastor, and he was a young, I'd say probably maybe 30s to 40s. He said, Pastor, my generation doesn't go to church much because we see what's going on there. The hypocrisy, the lies, the infighting, the abuse of children and fellow Christians, the mismanagement of the Word of God. The internet has been like a giant lens into what used to be hidden. Then he paused. I was speechless. He said, who needs that? No one does. But in the face of the generation behind us, we have the power to choose our words and our actions in line with God's righteousness. Jesus speaks a strong word here. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. I invite us to speak that same word first into our own lives and then into the lives of others. By letting your light so shine before people that they will see the glory of God in all places. That all people will know God's abiding and unconditional love. Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only, one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. In John 3:16. He also said, further in John chapter 8, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Amen.